Yamuna Tira Banukari Yamuna Tira Banukari Gaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gaya 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 Guru Baradhari Gaya Gati Jana Balava Guru Baradhari Gananana Gananana Yashodhanandana Vrajajanarandana Yamina Tira Vanukari Yamina Tira Vanukari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Guru Premanande. I am Vishnupad Paramahansa Pravida Gitari Sutra Sati Shishimari Svangais A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. Please continue to find your Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki. Antarat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Nityai Guru Premanande. All glories to assembly devotees. All glories to assembly devotees. All glories to assembly devotees. All glories to glories to Lord Sri Shishi Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 9, entitled Detachment from All That Is Material. We're beginning the chapter, so I'll begin reading the chapter summary. Chapter 9, Detachment from All That Is Material. The Avadhuta Brahmana describes his seven remaining gurus, beginning with the Kudara bird. He also describes an additional guru, one's own body. The instruction received from the Kurala bird is that attachment creates misery. But the person who is unattached and has no material possessions is qualified to achieve unlimited happiness. The Avadhuta Brahmana learned from the foolish, lazy child that becoming free from anxiety, a person becomes capable of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead and experiencing supreme ecstasy. The instruction received from the young girl who kept just one conch shell bracelet on each wrist is that one should remain alone and thus steady one's mind. Then only will it be possible for one to fix one's mind completely on the Personality of Godhead. Once, several men arrived to ask for the hand of the young girl, whose relatives had coincidentally left the house. She went inside and began to prepare food for the unexpected guests by beating rice. At that time, her conch shell bracelets were making a loud noise, rattling against each other. And in order to stop the sound, she broke off the bracelets one by one until at last only one remained on each arm. Just as two or more bracelets make noise, if even two people reside in the same place, what to speak of many, there is every chance of mutual quarrel and useless gossip. The Avadhuta Brahmana also received instruction from the arrow maker, who was so absorbed in constructing an arrow that he did not even notice that the king was passing right by him on the road. In the same way, one must strictly control one's mind, concentrating it in the worship of Lord Sri Hari. The Avadhuta Brahmana learned from the serpent that a sage should wander alone, should not live in any prearranged place, should be always careful and grave, should not reveal his movements, should take assistance from no one, and should speak little. The instruction obtained from the spider who spins his web from his mouth and then withdraws it is that the Supreme Personality of God singularly creates from out of himself the whole universe and then winds it up himself. From the weak insect who assumed the same form as the Tashakriti wasp, Anuvaduta Brahmana learned that the living entity, under the sway of affection, hatred, and fear, attains in his next life the identity that of that object upon which he fixes his intelligence. Seeing that the fragile material body is subject to birth and death, one who is sober should become devoid of material attachment to his body and should properly utilize the rare gift of human life in the pursuit of knowledge, endeavoring always for the achievement of the highest goal. Text 1. Should I just read it or do we... Oh, there it is. Okay, very good. Shri Brahmana Uvacha. Parigrahoti Dukaya. Yatyat Priyatamaninam. Anantam Sukamapnoti. Tadvidvam Yastvavam Akinchanaha. Shri Brahmana Uvacha. Harivrahohi Dutaya. Yadyat Priyataman Minam. Anantam Sukham Apnoti. Tadvidvam Yastvam Akinchanaha. Shri Brahmana Uvacha. Harivrahohi Dutaya. Yadyatriyatamanam. Anantam Sukham Apnoti. Tadvidvam Yastvam Akinchanaha. Shri Brahmana Uvacha. Vigrahohi Dukaya. Yajatriya Tamam Minam. Anantam Sukham Apnoti. Anantam Kinchanaha. Shri Brahmana Uvacha. Vigrahohi Dukaya. Yajatriya Tamam Minam. Yajatriya Tamam Minam. तेषां सुखमाप्नोति यत्किञ्चनः श्रीकामन उवाच हरिग्रहो हि भूताय राजात्रियातनाम्निनाम् अनन्तं सुखमाप्नोति यद्विद्वान् यः स्वकिञ्चनः लेडीस् श्रीब्राह्मण उवाच हरिग्रहो हि दुःखाय यद्यात्रियातमाम्निनाम् अनन्तं सुखम् आप्नोति यद्विद्वान् यः स्वकिञ्चनः श्रीब्राह्मण उवाच हरिग्रहो हि दूताय यद्यात्रियातमाम्निनाम् अनन्तं सुखम् आप्नोति यद्विद्वान् यः स्वकिञ्चनः श्रीब्राह्मण उवाच The saintly Brahmana said, Parigraha, attachment to possession. He certainly, Dukhaya, leading to misery. Yadyat, whatever. Priyatamam, is most dear. Munam, of man. Anantam, unlimited. Sukham, happiness. Apnuti, achieves. Tat, that. Vidvan, knowing. Ya, whoever. Tu, indeed. Akinchanaha, is free from such attachment. Translation. The saintly Brahmana said, everyone considers certain things within the material world to be most dear to him, and because of attachment to such things, one eventually becomes miserable. One who understands this gives up material possessiveness and attachment, and thus achieves unlimited happiness. Text 2. Translation. Once a group of large hawks who were unable to find any prey attacked another, weaker hawk, who was holding some meat. At that time, being in danger of his life, the hawk gave up his meat and experienced actual happiness. Purport. Incited by the modes of nature, birds become violent and kill other birds to eat them or to steal meat captured by them. Hawks, vultures, and eagles are in this category. However, one should give up the envious propensity to commit violence against others and should take to Krishna consciousness, whereby one sees every living entity as equal to oneself. On this platform of actual happiness, one does not envy anyone and thus sees no one as his enemy. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Katam Mahyam Nadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Svabrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Vamsajivam Svabaitam Svabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tatya Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Namami Hari Priye Vanshakai Patarubhyascha Kripasindubhyaya Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Morning everybody. I'd like to thank all of you for having me today, this Thursday morning Bhagavatam class. Thank you all for coming and for allowing me to speak. This goes up to 8:15. Okay, very good. Before I begin, I would like to request the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas here. There are so many. That I may speak something which is in line with our Guru Parampara, which is beneficial and inspiring in our spiritual lives, and that our hearts become fertile ground for the sublime message to take root on. So today we're beginning a new chapter, but it's a continuation of the previous chapter. In the previous chapter, we started hearing the instructions of Lord Krishna to Uddhava, and he was telling him the story of this Avadhuta Brahmana. And the Avadhuta Brahmana is instructing the King Yadu about the different gurus that he sees in the world. So he talked about some of them in the previous chapters, and in here he will describe the seven remaining gurus, beginning with the Kurara bird. Now the story of the Kurara bird is that there is this large hawk. It's an osprey. And a sea hawk, or a river hawk, however you want to call it. So this one was very happily just enjoying his meal, you know, just minding his own business. And then what happened? These other bigger, stronger birds started circling and started showing like, okay, you better give up that meat or we're going to make meat out of you. So, you know, this bird started fearing, you know, for its own life. Like, oh my God, like, this is the end. But you know, like, this meat is so important to me. It's priyatamam. It is the most dear. It's most dear to me. And you know, and there was so much fear. And what did the Avadhuta Brahmana see? He saw that the bird just gave it up at some point. Just said like, this is way too much. I'm just, you know, leaving it here. So the other birds took hold of it. And it is said here that this hawk experienced actual happiness. This Kurara bird experienced actual happiness at that point. So what was it that the Brahmana learned from that? He learned that everyone considers things within the material world to be most dear to him. But these are the sources of misery. These things that we are attached to are the big sources of misery. To the degree that we are engrossed in the body of conception, to the degree that we have these strong attachments, then that distress that we feel every now and then will be more acutely felt. It's a thing that if we're very, very attached, even a little inconvenience, a little thing, it could be even to that attachment or just to any attachment at all, we'll feel that distress more acutely. Therefore, it is said that it is enjoined by Krishna to try to give up as much as we can. You know, hopefully like this bird, you know, completely. All of these attachments that are not allowing us to focus on the supreme goal. If you notice all of the examples that we read in the introduction, like the young girl who was with the conch shells and she had to take them off so that so they wouldn't make so much sound, like the growl bird. All these are telling us you want to have a peaceful mind. Have a peaceful mind so that you can focus it on Krishna. Our attachments do not allow a peaceful mind. I'm coming from New York, and there are a lot of attachments up there. So many attachments. You see these very successful people walking down the street in their very elegant suits. But if you just scratch a little bit the surface, you know, like if you bump to them, you know, against them like that, it's like, argh, you know, everybody's so disturbed all the time. All the time they're so disturbed. Why is that? There is no peace of mind. There is so much rajas in there. They're so engrossed, like, yeah, I've got to make it. If I can't make it here, I can't make it anywhere. They're trying to attain this. And it's like, I want this, I don't want that. And it becomes more and more acutely felt. So we have, for example, the attachments that Hiranyakashipu had. Hiranyakashipu had obtained great mystic powers. Not only had attained all the mystic powers, but he was unconquerable by anybody. He said, let me not be conquered by any deva, any human, and anybody. Let me not be killed in the day or the night. Let me not be killed inside or outside the house. He put everything so that he would just be like the most powerful being in the whole universe. So when you're there, you would think like, okay, he's got everything he wants. He should be happy. But what did we see? A little scratching above the surface. His little 5-year-old boy. Instead, you know, the 5-year-old boy who he loved so much. Said, when he asked him, my dear Prahlad, what is the best subject that you have learned in school? And he said, devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Rah! Couldn't tolerate so much pain, so much distress. And what's more, when he found out that it, you know, it was just like impossible to have this little child, this talkative little child, just like have him killed, he became depressed. He became fearful like anything. Why is that? Because he felt that, you know, a little inconvenience there was now a big thing. He was drowning in a glass of water. Everyone heard that expression, right? You're drowning in a glass of water. Why is that? Because of the attachments. These attachments. So what are they telling us here? That a vidvan, somebody who is learned, who has knowledge, what does he do? He gives up that which is priyatamam, that which is most dear. So everyone has a priyatamam, or a couple of priyatamams. Right? And it can be different for everybody, you know. For somebody, it may be just like, you know, I don't know, donuts at 3 a.m. That is their priyatamam. And for others, it could be like, yeah, my little child, you know, or my stocks, you know. Everybody has different priyatamams. So, and it's easy to figure out what that priyatamam is. It's not that hard. But then, to give it up, it's so painful. So painful. Now, when I was learning martial arts, there was one thing that they told us. If you're a black belt, and you know how to kill a person, you know, in 5,000 different ways with your bare hands. And there's this person that comes up to you and says, like, your money or your life. What do we see in the movies? Kja! Kja! Out cold. Yeah. I did it. No. What they really teach you in karate school is give it up. Even if you're a black belt, Even if you're in your 10th degree black belt, give it up. Why? Because it is not worth it. It is not worth it. I tell you. Your life is much, your life, your health, everything is so much more important than this. You know, how much wealth do you really have in your pocket at any specific time? You know, $20? if you just came out of the bank, you know, like, oh man, you know, I have $500 in my pocket right now. It's $500. Just think about, they told us, think about if this person, you know, like, just, like, if he's holding a knife and just, like, scratches you a little bit. You have to go into surgery, and are there any doctors here? No doctors in the house. Okay. If you get just a little scratch, you won't save yourself from, you know, the doctors having to, like, open you up, seeing that all your internal organs are okay, like that, sewing you up, and then, you know, months of painful recovery, just for a second of just, like, doing this, and all the meds that you're going to have to take, you know, for the pain and all that. Oh my God. And that might cost you more than the $500 that you have in there. So it's not worth it. Give it up. You can get it back. You can get it back. So we should see it in that way, as this weak hawk saw this thing. You know what? Let me give up this meat. This thing that is causing so much fear in my life. Attachments cause fear. This thing that is causing so much fear. Let me just give it up. And let me be free. Let me be happy. The whole Vedic civilization is geared towards reducing our attachments as much as possible, little by little, or you know, if we can do it, you know, in a more gross way, but just give it up, subtle and gross, whatever, and focus our mind on the Supreme. I have a friend, and he just recently went through a divorce. And he's just like in bad shape, and he was telling me that one thing that he has learned out of all this is that he just had this one attachment, and it was now taken out from him, and it's so painful. He said, "I can just imagine now what it must be like at the moment of death, when all of my attachments are taken away. This was just one. What to speak of all of them at the same time?" He said, it must be so painful. Therefore, one must die before dying. That's what Bhaktivedanta Swami is saying. Die before dying. Try to give up these things before they're taken away from us anyway. But then, we understand this intellectually. But then the question is like, okay, I can do that, but it is very difficult, right? Unless your life is at risk, unless our life is at risk, it's very difficult to give up these attachments. So, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vishayadi nivartante nirahadasi dehinaha rasabhajan rasopyasya param drishva nivartate. Get that higher taste of service for Krishna. Get that higher taste. But that's still difficult, isn't it? Because we're in that limbo. So the devotees, they're in a very painful position. We have given up, or we're trying to give up these attachments, but we have not yet gotten that higher taste. You know, we have a little bit of taste for maybe chanting, a little bit. We have a little bit, you know, for doing seva. You know, that's why we're here. But it's not like we're not like you know, going into the eight symptoms of ecstatic every time that we're saying Krishna. It's like, oh my God. So what do we do in this limbo stage? How do we do that? So Krishna tells us that, you know, whatever little bit that we have, just kindle it. Maybe we don't have that great a taste for the holy name, but you know, just a little bit. Maybe I'd like to sing a few bhajans. Okay, go. Let's go deeply into that bhajan. You know, it's like really, really going to bhajans, and it's like so nice. And let me hear, you know, like the bhajan from Bhakti Vinod and and Narottam Das Thakur. Or who knows? Maybe it's I have a little bit of taste for cooking, right? So let me like really go into like Mother Yamuna's, you know, recipes. And prepare like a feast that all the devotees will be like so happy about. Or whatever it is. Just kindle whatever like that. And the second thing that we can try to grab hold of is devotees. Attachment to devotees. Now, attachment to devotees is a very easy thing, and it's also a very difficult thing. It is both, isn't it? We attachment to the devotees is so easy because we share what's most important, what's most dear. Right? There was once I think it was Satchinandan Maharaj who was talking about, you know, and somebody that he met, and this devotee was telling him that, you know, Maharaj, there's this person that I really have a difficult time, you know, working with in the temple. It just like gets on my nerves every time. I can't stand him. You know, I see him and it's like, ah. Yeah. But then I was doing book distribution one day. And, you know, as I was walking the street, I just came up, you know, across that devotee. And I was like, oh, how are you going? And then I checked myself. I was like, why am I so happy? Like, why would I be happy to see this devotee? I never want to see him when we're in the temple. But because he was now in a situation where there were no devotees, where he was just like, you know, like dealing with whatever person like that, suddenly seeing a devotee, you know, seeing this person who loves Krishna, it was just like, Haribo! You know, like immediately the soul came out, you know, the light of the soul came through, and then it was like, oh, and then the mind like, no, you hate that person, you hate him. Okay, sorry. So, because of that, it's very difficult, you know. We have to realize, and this is a very difficult thing, you know, I'm preaching to myself here, by the way. We have to realize that the devotees are keeping us humble. We may be praised by so many people out there, but we have to see that Krishna's blessing is that the devotees come and say, like, you're nonsense. You know, like, We go in, you know, we do this great program, and, you know, like, 50 people, you know, like started, you know, taking up Krishna consciousness. 30 of them started chanting, you know, on beats and, you know, like that. And somebody goes like, just 50? Haribo, you know, or, the prasadam, was it completely cooked by you? Come on, you know, 50 people, you know, 30 chanting, come on, you know, give me a little credit. Trying as much as we can, you know, So, the devotees, we should see that it's Krishna's blessing on us, that they're keeping us humble. If the devotees were always as, you know, positive as we sometimes get from outside, then we would become so puffed up. Like, yeah, I'm the man. And Krishna's there. Right? But they're seeing all of my faults, and therefore, you know, what is it? Tatenu kamtam sushamikshamano. We have to see everything that is coming into our lives as Krishna's blessing. Everything that is coming to us is not just random. Krishna is orchestrating it. Even the difficult times that we're having with the devotees is like, okay. Let's see how you respond to this. And we have to be grateful for that. You know, saying, Krishna, you're so kind. You know, I'm so attached to praise, to honor. I'm so attached to everything that, you know, you're sending these devotees. Especially these ones. The Devotee Association is the dearest gift that Krishna can give to us. Because the devotees, Krishna says, are more dear to him than his life. Lord Chaitanya, you know, constantly is telling all the devotees that you're more dear than my own life. And for somebody to give you what is most dear to them, the Priyatamam. Krishna is giving us his Priyatamam. Here are my devotees. And I'm giving you these devotees that will help you best. Bhaktisiddhanta Swami used to say that whenever we're having difficulties with devotees, one thing that we can think of is that, you know, try to see that these devotees that I am with right now, they're probably going to be the people that are going to be there at the time of my death. So how loving should I be to them, you know? Because they are going to be the ones that are going to be assisting me at the time of my greatest need. Prabhupada said, you will show your love by how you cooperate with each other. It's very difficult working with devotees, you know. It's, you know, especially sometimes devotees can be very transcendental to many things. One may think like, you know, with other people, you're professional, you know, you say this and you do this, you know. We say 3 o'clock and it's 3 o'clock, not 3:30, 4. Oh, didn't you say 5? Come on. You know, but still, they're Krishna's devotees. Let me try to see that. Let me see how I can work with them as much as possible to please Srila Prabhupada. To please Srila Prabhupada, just to do that. If I am living by myself, you know, in a little mountain over there, and just, you know, reading and chanting and doing all about, you know, doing bhajan by myself, I can think myself the most advanced devotee. There is no more advanced devotee than I am. Just see how much, you know, by next week I'll be self-realized. Yeah. Because nobody's showing us our anarthas. Nobody's showing us that, you know, no one is scratching our surface to show us, you know, oh, there, you have that attachment. Did you see that? I did this to you and you became like really, when we are like distressed about something, the first thing that we should think of, you know, is, okay, what is my, how am I contributing to this problem? Right? What is the attachment that is bringing so much distress to my life in here? And when we do that, then we can actually use that form of distress that we're having there as an opportunity for growth. As an opportunity to let me come out of this. You know, here this devotee is showing me, look, do you see that? I'm scratching this surface and look how, you know, bent out of shape you are. You see that attachment? Okay, thank you. Thank you for showing me that. Let me see how I can work through that. Tolerance, humility, giving respect to others, respecting none in yourself, in it for oneself, that becomes real. That becomes practical in the association of the devotees. That becomes like, oh, you know, this is what Lord Chaitanya was telling me I should do. We have an opportunity every day when we meet devotees to work on these things. We can truly make advancement because of these devotees. And it's then just like a bag of rocks that are just like, you know, bashing on each other like that and making themselves every time smoother and smoother by these collisions. All our false egos are getting smoothed up and we're going to become these beautiful, shining pebbles. You know, without devotee association, we should actually understand that I'm nothing. Some years ago, I went back home, you know, to Colombia, where I'm from, and I was there for a month. And the first days, it was like wonderful. Oh, mom, dad, you know, my brothers, my friends, everything. Beautiful. But then, it was like, okay, taste for hearing. Taste for chanting. And then, you know, trying to have prasad. It was like, okay, and either I cook myself or, you know, it's going to be difficult. My mom tried, you know, but still. Trying to like, you know, keep myself so difficult. By the end of the month, I was like, devotees,
Dried up all the along that. As soon as I came back, devotees greeted me at the airport. They took me to the temple and we had prasadam. Oh, it was heaven. Heaven. So nice. I was so happy to be in their association. And I was hearing the kirtan downstairs while I was eating the prasadam. It was like, this is, what I was waiting for all this time. I was so happy. Then the attachments and like that started kicking on after a couple of weeks, but at least for that moment, I got that glimpse of, the importance of devotee association. The mind tends to make us forget this, how special, how rare these devotees are. Only when we have, when we're withdrawn, what is it? You don't know what you have until you lose it. So let us not lose, let us not make Krishna like withdraws from the devotee association. If we start making offenses to devotees, Krishna will say like, oh, I see. So you want to be alone. I'll let you be alone. I'll let you be very, very alone. And let's see what happens. There's a story about this devotee who was in our movement, and because of attachments, previous conditioning like that, he left the movement and went like deep into Maya, like as deep as you can go. And he was very dear to Prabhupada, but when Prabhupada left, it was just like the end for him. And some devotees found him later, like many years later. He was in Goa underneath a boat, and he was suffering miserably. He had this he was suffering from cancer, and he had tumors over his body, and he was just like, trying to survive there. The devotees took him and started nourishing him. And they took him to a hospital, Krishna consciousness. And they started bringing him prasad. They started, just reading to him like that. This devotee, was just like so grateful. And he understood, this is all, this is the why did I ever leave this? And then he started regretting, I lost so much time. I could have done so much for Srila Prabhupada. He was so happy to be in the association, so grateful, that they were there. He wanted to give up, everything now. And once Srila Prabhupada had asked him, well, it's funny. Srila Prabhupada wanted him to become temple president of this temple. And he was like, no, he heard about this from rumors. Devotees were rumoring, he's gonna do this. And this devotee was like, no, I'm not going to let Srila Prabhupada talk me into it. I'm going to, he had his whole list planned out. I'm going to, this reason, and then there's that reason, and then there's that reason, I'm going to tell Prabhupada, I can't, So he was like, and then finally, they said, boom, Srila Prabhupada's calling you to his quarters. Okay, ready. He goes in there. And he says, hello, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada tells him, like, I want you to take sannyas. What? No, Prabhupada? No, I can't. My service is like, oh, somebody will take care of that. But I can't go by. He was crying. He was like, he was shaking. He was like, I can't go by. Like, okay, then you become temple president. Yes, Srila Prabhupada, I'll become temple president. The Prabhupada key. That he became temple president, like that. So he was at this moment in his life, he was remembering all of this. And then he remembered like, yeah, Srila Prabhupada wanted me to take sannyas. I want to take sannyas now. Even though it's my final days, I want to take sannyas and make Srila Prabhupada happy. And the devotees say that when he came with that, when the devotees came with the danda, this devotee was like looking at that dandan like it was Srila Prabhupada himself coming. He grabbed onto it and just like held it so tightly. And said like, I'm sorry Srila Prabhupada, I was away for so long, I'm here. And the devotee saw, how he left his body in the most Krishna conscious way. And he was so grateful to everyone because the devotees brought him back to Krishna consciousness. The devotees always bring us back in one way or another. They always bring us back to Krishna. And for that, we're eternally grateful to them. So it is now 9:15. Are there any questions, comments, chastisements, wisecracks? Yes, Mataji.
I'm asking on behalf of the
you can find out from other devotees.
It's not in the Prabhupada Lamrita?
I don't think so, because it was after Srila Prabhupada left.
My question and my realization was that I do have one, that when I was coming to the movement, it was much easier about detachment. It was much easier to be detached.
Mm.
I had this managerial position in an insurance company, and I gave it up. And then when it was time for me to move in the temple, I gave my watch and my tape recorder, my everything, my household, and my family was saying, what's wrong with you, So, but it was very easy for me. Even giving up my family, which is very dangerous, because when I met the devotees, I wrote a letter to them and I told them, now I found my real family. So it was seemed so easy to me at the time. So now, after so many years, now I am attached to so many things, and it's very hard. You don't give things up so easily. Of course, we have given, the four principles and all that, but there are things that we still attach, and it seems that it's now harder than it was at the beginning when I knew nothing.
Yeah, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we have felt that surge, let me give it all up. I'm just gonna jump in that bus and become a brahmachari or brahmacharini and haribol, give up everything. And we do it like anything. But it is true. After some time, there are all of these attachments that it seems like why was it so easy back then? Why is it so hard right now? There's different things that are happening there. One is that in the beginning we have the excitement of Krishna consciousness. We have a very big excitement. You're like, oh, like the, this is the new thing in my life, I finally found it, I finally found the way, And there's a sort of like false renunciation in there, it's sincere, but it is not complete. It is explained in Madhurya Kadambini that there is this excitement, it's not quite the real thing. It's there, but so what happens is that now throughout our Krishna conscious lives, we now are trying to like really get to that point. Now we really have to work on that. Also, there is the fact that in the beginning we may have given up those things which were easy for us to give up, the gross things for us, but there are like more subtle ones that start popping up, and those ones, Krishna is also showing us like, okay, he wants us completely clean, An example that I heard once was that the seat of the heart where the Paramatma, where Krishna is gonna sit, it has to be absolutely clean. It cannot be like if there was a little piece of stool in a chair, and somebody says like, please sit down here. You go like, uh-uh. And somebody goes like, okay, no, look, it's okay. You go like, no, you have to clean that very, very well for me to sit there, right? So, Krishna, you can't go like, please sit down. And there's like, not just like a little, there's like a lot of, horrible things in there. He wants to for us to make really a gundicha marjanam of that heart. And, the thing would, so something that we have to think about as we go on in our Krishna conscious lives is that let's look at how much progress I have really made since I became a devotee. We sometimes forget to see I have really made deep progress, but that it's not so obvious. We have to go deep and see like, oh wow, yeah, I have made, serious. I have become deeper. This usaimai, I have gone deeper into that, enthusiasm. I am now more of a genuine Vaishnava. And that will bring us hope that, Krishna is taking me on the way. I am making advancement. There were some other questions? Yes.
Should I just?
Okay.
So, I really love the story about a sannyasi who fell away from the movement. He had pretty much completely got married to a non-devotee and was just living his life. And then he got cancer, got very, very ill. And he was dying. His wife was there with him. So right before he died, he looked up and he said, Srila Prabhupada, you've come after so many years.
Wow.
And he passed away. And his wife was like, what's he talking about? And it was that far away from his home. And she went and she Googled it and she looked it up and went to the temple and found out, his whole background. But it's just so exemplary of Srila Prabhupada and the Lord that they don't give up on us, Even though it was somebody who was so far removed, then he Prabhupada appeared to him. Right before he died, so we're very fortunate to have you.
What is that saying? Glorious is that servant who never gives up the service of his master, and glorious is that master who, even if his servant gives up his service, will drag him back by the hair. Lord Chaitanya, yes.
Who is the master?
Yes, there was another question or comment.
You talked about Srila Prabhupada, that he says that our love for him will be shown by how much we cooperate to spread this movement together.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it seems like there's a little bit of a confusion with understanding that he didn't say that our love will be shown by how much we agree with each other. So it looks like a lot of times we don't agree, but how can we explain that even though we don't agree, we still stay and cooperate?
Yeah. So sometimes it may be that the best type of cooperation is not getting each other's way. Sometimes that may be the case, and it's okay. Everybody has a different, mood, a different rasa, even in the spiritual world, there's like the left-wing gopis and right-wing gopis, and So it may be that cooperating sometimes is just like don't get in each other's way. And that's okay. Everybody has a different take on what should be the best way of preaching, direct or more, bridge. What should be the best way to run a temple this way or that, what's the best way, so many different Sometimes it may be just like to keep some distance might be the best way to cooperate. But we are still there. You know, it's still family. That is one thing that my parents would always tell us, you know, like, whatever happens in life, you know, still family. So this is ISKCON, this is our family. You know, you have the, you know, some relatives that it's just like, oh my God, yeah, it's like, yeah, family gathering, okay, yeah, sure. Yeah. But okay, you know, still family, what to do, you know? I'm stuck with them, you know, gotta love them. Gotta love them.
Yes, thank you for a very nice class. I was thinking, you know, it's funny how when we joined Prabhupada's movement, we do a little service and it stays with us. So I remember one time, this was some years back, we were traveling. I was with a group of devotees, and at that time the GPS wasn't so popular, so we was using maps. So anyway, we got lost in the middle of nowhere. You know, we lost our route.
That still happens with the GPS.
Yeah. So anyway, we got lost in the middle of nowhere. And so I was one of the drivers, so I said, oh, let's stop in this gas station. So we went to this gas station to get some water and stuff. So anyway, we had some flyers. We started passing out some flyers. So this one devotee, he was working there. And he says, Ectivody anyway. But anyway, he says, wow, I'm so glad to see you guys. And we say, oh, is that right? And he says, I left the temple. I lived in the temple years ago, and I left. Mm-hmm. And it was a long story. But anyway, he said, I'm so glad to see you, and I'm going to start going back to the temple. And all
wow.
this, you know, and I was saying, wow. You know, Christian wants to find you. You can't have, especially if you did some service or favorable service or even unfavorable service.
Krishna was your GPS that day. It's a missing
rule. We were describing how the distresses that took place in the Sangha of devotees, purifiers of attachments. What if the distress comes from our attachment to the service we're doing? Because that seems like that oftentimes happens within,
yeah.
Like this whole point that Dhammaraj brings up about Shiva for me, how will you cooperate? And so how, you know, from this philosophical perspective that you're describing, how does that purify us?
Well, the service is purifying, it's a purifying thing. It's not a mundane activity. Sometimes we have to, when we're doing the devotional service, we still have to keep in mind what Krishna told Arjuna, and is that, you know, don't be attached to the results. Generally, when, you know, our tendency is to take even devotional service in a mundane way. Sometimes Krishna may want us to fail at something, you know, because he thinks that that will be good for us. You know, book distributor. Sometimes Krishna may say like, okay, today you're not going to distribute a single book. Not a single one. And we just have to take it as, okay, Krishna. This is what you want. Sometimes, you know, like, he might say like, okay, today I'm going to make you have just one person, but that person's going to give like $100 donation. You know, I'm going to take, you know, like a whole stack of books. That may be the case. We tend to become very, very attached to that. This is my service. This is my service, and I have to do it, you know, come what may, you know, like, and anybody who gets in my way, I'm going to just trample on them. Because it's for Srila Prabhupada. So, you know, maybe that's not the best mood, maybe that's not the best thing. So Krishna knows how to show us these things. When we are disturbed by something, we should understand something is wrong here in me. If I'm being disturbed by something, why am I being disturbed by that? What is, you know, what attachment is being like that going inside me? And then we can pray to Krishna, please help me see how to overcome this. And in that way, you know, we begin to like really be instruments of Krishna. Really good instruments. Okay, you want me to go here, you want me to go there. This did not happen that way. Okay, do you want me to do like that? And then Krishna will work wonders to us. Wonders. What we think is like, oh yeah, if I do it my way, you know, that will bring great glory. Krishna can do so much more through us if we just allow ourselves to be supple. Okay, you want me to go like this, you want me to go like that. Oh, this failed like that, so what about this? Prabhupada, when he came, so many difficulties, so many things just failing one after another. One after another. He was attached to, okay, how do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do that? How do you want me to do it? Wasn't attached to any specific thing. He allowed Krishna to show him the way. Krishna, show me the way. Yes, sir.
I remember the first time in 1980, Viraj Maharaj was seated on my... I was manager in my group, but then he would sit on my seat. He would tell a story during the morning. And he said one story one time.
He was depressed because he was a collector. He was a life membership collector also, Giriraj Maharaj, those days. And then he went to one rich man in Bombay three times, and he got frustrated because knowing that man is there, and then the clerk and the assistant are saying, no, he's not here, he's busy, all kinds of things. So he was sitting in his room, little bit depressed, and Prabhupada says, are you okay? He said, no. I feel depressed because I try so hard to make this man life member. Prabhupada said, but Krishna wants him to suffer. You are going against Krishna's will. He was like shocked. He said, what? He said, no, you do your job and Krishna will give you result or not. That's not up to you. That's up to Krishna. So he took it very seriously. And the lesson that he taught, I remember very well, I'm paraphrasing, he says, can you accept others without seeing difference? Without imposing your view on them, without judging or being sentimental. Can you accept? Then you can cooperate. That will please Krishna.
Wow, beautiful. That wraps up the class. That's a beautiful idea. Thank you so very much, Bruce. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, devotees ki, Nityai Gaurapremanande.